Focus with Cassie McCullough
on ABC Radio Sydney.
Brett Jardine, the Managing Director of the Council of Australian Tour Operators, which is the peak body for the supply side of the travel industry, representing tour operators. Brett, it's a rotten time for everyone. There's just absolutely no one who's having making hay at this peak at this period, I think.
You're absolutely right there.
So when you are talking to the people in your group, what are they saying to you? What are you hearing from them?
Now, firstly, just to put some context around the conversation and where we're at. In 2019, more than 11 million Australians travelled overseas. Of that 11 million, 6.5 million or 58% of those trips were for a holiday. So that's the equivalent of 25% or
so,
one in, or
so
one
hang
in
on,
four.
11 million went overseas. How many were holidays? Sorry?
6.5 million.
Okay, all right.
So that's the equivalent of 25% of our population or one in four Australians going overseas for their holiday. Now, we were certainly very bullish in our outlook for 2020 as well. But, you know, when you look at those numbers, you know, you can see that Australians by our very nature and, of course, our geographic location, you know, we're avid travellers. You know, we love to explore and discover new places and, you know, gain new experiences and learn about new culture.
Yes, it's a wonderful part of the Australian character, isn't it?
Well,
meet people in the Americans, if you go there, they never even had a passport. They, you know, never
exactly
even
right.
thought of applying for one.
That's exactly right. And so now we're in a situation, you know, with governments around the world imposing restrictions and closing borders and grounding aircraft. You know, the travel industry, like many, many other industries, has come to a rapid halt. And so, yes, it's extremely challenging. And there would be very few businesses in any industry that would have had some sort of a crisis plan in place to cater for something like this. It's, you know, it's extraordinary.
Where are they in the mix of refunds and losing out of commissions, and what's your sort of financial side of things?
So, well, I guess it's important to understand, and this is really the crux of the situation right here for consumers. You know, the global travel ecosystem is made up of a number of different layers. So and a typical scenario would start with the consumer booking via a local travel agent who would then generally book with an Australian-based tour operator or wholesaler who would then utilise the services of an in-destination ground operator that we would refer to as a destination management company.
Mm-hmm.
Who would then in turn book all the various individual components of travel packages that could extend to transfers, other ground transportation, accommodation, restaurants, local day tours, attractions, entrance fees, domestic flights, local guides, and in some cases even visas. So then between each of those layers...
So they're what makes it a holiday, I suppose. I mean,
That's exactly right.
Takes the work out of it. Means that you're not sitting up at night tapping away at your computer trying to figure out what else you're going to need and if you've got the best deal.
What I'm going to do. Yeah. And you know, if one of the I'll give you a couple of examples. So the average duration of an Australian leisure holiday overseas is 18 days. Now, one of the biggest destinations that we visit is Europe. Now, if you're travelling on a holiday or potentially a tour that could encompass, you know, 3, 4, 5 different countries around Europe, there are going to be potentially dozens and dozens of components involved in your trip. Now, when an Australian tour operator or wholesaler is making those arrangements, they are committing themselves to legal obligations or binding obligations to pay for those trips. Now, if someone's paid a deposit to a travel agent in Australia who's passed on the deposit to the Australian tour operator, that money is then dispersed across all of those different suppliers. And given the example before, there's 6.5 million Australians travelling overseas for a holiday, there is a myriad of different possibilities of what people are going to be doing. In some cases, it might just be one component. It might be fly and stay in a hotel. In other cases, there could be 50 to 100 different components of an itinerary. So it's really difficult to put a sort of a blanket approach to how we deal with all of this. And so ultimately, what our position is, and it's not just us. This is a position from suppliers involved with the travel industry all over the world. And we are engaged with our counterparts, particularly in other Western countries, in the US, the UK, and in Canada. And there is consensus amongst all suppliers that the best outcome for everybody concerned to ensure the future of the longevity and future of the travel industry, to ensure that people's money is as protected as it possibly can be, and that is by postponing travel to a future date.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the absolute best outcome for everybody.
Now, the clock is against us, so I guess I'm going to ask you about, I want to know about your concerns about reputational damage. I mean, if you don't offer refunds, that's a problem. But you're sort of asking for the consumer to accept the conditions even though they may not be able to take that trip.
I think what we'll find, and it's very difficult for any tour operator or any supplier to have a hard and fast rule. So at this stage, you know, trips are being postponed. Ideally, we would like to think that whatever you book for, say, example, in July or August 2020, is feasible for you to undertake in 2021. Push it back 12 months. The whole 2020 year is, you know, potentially a write-off. Let's
it
back a year.
Yeah, but you have to allow discretion. I mean, we heard,
yes, 100%,
you know, I 100%. Can't remember her name, the lady who was saying that she didn't want there was a vaccine. She's older, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And there will be cases like that. And I can assure you that within our membership group, we represent 120 Australian tour operators. Within our membership group, there is absolutely understanding that they will need to be flexible in the future. So when it comes to 2021, if for some reason someone cannot travel, if it needs to be pushed out another 6 months or another 12 months or potentially passed on to a family member or a friend who can take the trip, then there will be that flexibility. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, without putting words into my operator's mouth, I'm sure they will take that flexible approach.
Brett, you've put your position very well on behalf of the people you represent. Thank you for that, and great to have your voice in this conversation. I appreciate that it's difficult for everybody. So thank you very much for that. Brett Jardine, he's the Managing Director of the Council of Australian Tour Operators, who, as you can imagine, are severely affected by this, as is everyone, including the consumers. It's the peak body for the tour operators in the travel industry.
You're listening to Focus with Cassie McCullough on ABC Radio Sydney.